If you could have a conversation with anyone in history, what would you ask them?
Hello, General Washington. Good day, Miss Tubman.
I had to know, so I decided, let's give him a call.
Welcome to the Calling History Podcast.
Welcome back to part two of Rebecca Nurse. In the last episode, we heard about the evil creature that was Tituba. We talked about the 12-year-old Ann Putnam Jr. making accusations with only spectral evidence, and why men of the law were handling these issues rather than men of the cloth. In this episode, Rebecca will talk about the absurd requirements to prove her innocence after being accused of witchcraft, and her sister, who was branded and exiled after confessing, even though Rebecca was absolutely certain that she was not a witch.
Out of the women who have been accused so far, or the men, which of them have confessed that they have participated in witchcraft?
There are some who have. My own sister Mary has confessed. But it is dependent upon as to whether they will be shown mercy by the magistrates, and some will be shown mercy. I will not confess to this. Under any duress, I will not confess. I have been taken aside with others, and we have been placed. We were taken to a barn. Our arms were tethered behind our backs. The ropes were swung over the beam in the barn, and we were hoisted into the air, mere inches from the floor, and we were questioned. But I could not speak these untruths. Some cannot withstand such tortures, and they will confess, and perhaps the magistrates will show their mercy. At this point, I believe someone has related to me that 162 persons have been brought before the magistrates, and there will be more. And I can never put aside the death of that one child who starved to death in that summer of 1692. I shall face the morrow, for I can say before my eternal Father that I am innocent, and I know that God will clear my innocence.
There are a lot of people that are also saying that they're innocent, both men and women. And if 162 people have been arrested, and if they're being arrested on spectral evidence, can you tell me what spectral evidence is? Can just any person look into the sky and say they see a specter or a demon or a devil, and then they can condemn another person?
I suppose that is rather a simple way to place that argument, but yes, one can report that they have seen Goody Rebecca Nurse fly upon an object across the moon, or that perhaps upon tapping the head of a neighbor's cow, the cow would die within a day. Or the argument that I had in the past with a neighbor when his pig rooted up my garden, and within the year this gentleman was dead. That could be used against me, that I had perhaps put a spell upon him that he should die within the year, and I have no way of proving otherwise. You see, it is incumbent upon the person who is arrested to prove their innocence. The court of Oyez and Determiner does not have to prove my guilt. I must prove my innocence. And perhaps it will be my death in which I will prove that I am innocent, for I have not betrayed my belief, my faith, and perhaps I shall be proven innocent by my death.
Goody Rebecca, in your time, I'm going to put a scenario in front of you, and I'm wondering in your time if I'm reading this correctly. Reverend Paris, is he a good man?
I do not believe so. I do not believe he is worthy of his position. I do not believe that his judgment is pure. I do not believe that his heart is pure, that he is a man of good faith. I could not speak such in public. I could not declare this within the meeting house, but my feelings toward him that I see him as a weak man who is not true to his faith. I could not speak this public.
That's actually perfect for the question that I want to ask you, because you do not feel that he is a man deserving of his position. It is also my understanding that the beginning of all of this was when his child got sick and then didn't get better. And then as that child is not healing, then a doctor comes in and says this child is bewitched. Is my understanding correct that if you were to then say, whether it were true or not, which I know you would never do this, but if you were to say, because you don't like him and you don't think he's deserving of his position, that you saw him cast a spell on his daughter, that would be enough evidence to condemn him unless he could prove that was not true. Is that correct?
Yes, yes. It is indeed correct. Again, we must see that he is a man who is in a more powerful position than myself. I am a woman. I am an older woman, and I do not have the power of his position. And this, quite honestly, is a dreadful place in which I find myself. And I will not speak an untruth. I will not say that I have flown upon an object when the moon is high, or that I have bewitched a child. I would not harm a child. I would not harm a dumb beast. But it is a matter of what is believed by some and what is believed by others and what is not believed. And the magistrates, the jury, they will believe and have believed that I have bewitched persons, that I have injured persons, and I am not in power. I am not a woman with power. There is no such thing. Women do not have power. That power is granted only to men.
I find it interesting that there aren't as many witches or warlocks that are either in strong political positions at some level of status and are men in power. It's interesting how somehow the witches and the warlocks just never seem to make it to those people.
Yes, it is. I think it is rather interesting that when one is without power, one is, would the word be powerless? When one is powerless, one is more apt to be accused of wrongdoing, such as Sarah Osborne, because she has become an irritant. Others in Salem are angry and tired of having to support this very old person who can no longer work. She is nearly blind and deaf, bent over with age, and perhaps they are simply tired of having to support and help this woman. For the belief is that if one cannot work and one cannot support oneself, then one perhaps is not worthy of life itself.
That's incredible. It seems to me that Tituba and Ann Putnam Jr., that if anybody was going to be executed and or accused of witchcraft, it would be these two. It just seems like these two started most of either the rumors or the accusations, whatever you want to call them. Has Tituba been arrested? Is she in any sort of trouble? What about Anne?
Tituba, the creature, she was arrested very early on, and she came before the magistrates. I must use some, I suppose, unseemly language. She came to them with her feet and legs were exposed, and she came before the magistrates, and for 3 days she told them these stories about this devil's book, about her flights over the countryside. And I think the magistrates believed her, but they also feared her. They feared that she had great power, that she had great mystical power, that she indeed could not be simply silenced. and they were very afraid of her. And so she again was left in the custody of her master, the Reverend Samuel Parris. And I think the magistrates and the jurors involved were simply very frightened of Tituba. They were too frightened to even approach her. But again, she is a slave. She is a, one might say, a disposable person, a person of little consequence.
What do you think would happen if Tituba were to, and I think you're leading to this, but if Tituba was to be very direct and say to the magistrates that I am a witch, I know who the witches are, and if I'm imprisoned, I will kill every one of you and all of your families, what would happen?
I believe perhaps she may have spoken such words, that she may have threatened that if they were to harm her, that she had powers within her reach, that she had the power of the Black Prince, and that they may indeed be found to be injured or illness would strike them. I was accused of perhaps striking someone dead because of an incident that occurred with a pig. But I indeed swore that I had no such indication that I would hurt someone in that way. I would not. But the man died within a year. And perhaps Tituba was forceful. They were frightened of her. Her appearance is very exotic, something that we do not see very often in Puritan Massachusetts. Her nakedness, her dress, her manner, dancing about. I think that perhaps she frightened the magistrates and the jury to say, perhaps we should not touch such a powerful witch. I, on the other hand, may not have that power in their eyes.
Do you believe that Tituba can fly and cast spells?
Yes. There are those who are powerful witches and wizards, and there are those who can perform such feats as to fly over the countryside or to injure someone without never laying a hand upon them, to cast a spell, to bring illness, to bring death to a household. Yes, that is part of what I have lived with from the time I was a child in those very early years where I related about the great devil dog who would rise up out of the sea when I was a child in Greater Yarmouth in East Anglia. I believe those things have happened, and they are part of our belief in this year of our Lord, 1692, and we must accept them as true.
I still find it very strange that the powerful people are not witches or warlocks. And I'm wondering if you might have some thoughts about whether or not some of the more powerful people in society perhaps are witches or warlocks and have maybe used those powers to rise to those higher levels, but perhaps are better at concealing the fact that they have these powers. What are your thoughts on that?
I think they're very well may be assured for. There are those who are more powerful, and perhaps they have risen to that level because of their powers, because of their alignment with the Dark Prince. And I am sure that I am weaker. I'm not capable of these things. I fear them greatly. And I do believe that there are some who may have indeed signed the devil's book in their own blood, and who are now in great power. Many of the bishops, perhaps, that have ruled for so many years in England and have made many suffer under their stringent laws, perhaps they too are part of a greater circle of the devil's own. Perhaps indeed there are wicked persons who are of a very high level. But I also believe that many are doing what they think perhaps is right. And I I cannot question why the Lord has placed this difficulty upon my shoulders at this very late time in my life, but I also must accept it, for we must also realize and understand in belief and faith that there are some who have the full grace of God within them and others who do not. And that is not something that one can choose for oneself. It is predetermined as to whether we have the full grace of God within us. And we must strive and hope and pray that we have that within us. But there are those who may abuse their power, whether it was brought to them rightfully or whether because of the black arts. It is beyond my understanding, perhaps.
I've heard that you have some healing abilities or some skills in this area. Is there some truth to that?
Yes, I am learning at my mother's knee. I have the knowledge of roots and herbs and plants that I have also availed myself of over the years. I have never done harm to anyone, and I would never injure anyone. I have been there during the time of a woman's travail, and I have aided her travail by the means of herbs and plants that I have learned throughout the years and with my experience and with the knowledge from my own mother, Joanna Town. I have given help to those who need it, but I have never done harm. And I would never harm person nor a beast. I have indeed cured the ailments of beasts in the past. When a cow perhaps has dried and will not give milk, I have aided by means of using herbs and plants. I have helped, as I say, and during a woman's travail, I have aided to bring the child forth and have a live birth. And I have practiced these arts to help others, but never to harm.
It seems that mixing roots and finding berries and coming up with different potions and concoctions to heal people, or ointments or salves, however you would put it, it seems like that would be dangerous in your time. Because how would somebody know if what you were mixing up, whether there was malintent or not?
One takes it upon faith. For the most of my life, I have known to be a woman of good faith. Many of my neighbors could attest that I was a woman of good faith all my years. And one must put trust in one another. And there are times when it is important for those around you, if you extend your help, if you wish to help them, they must trust that you will do them no harm. Perhaps if a physician comes to you and wishes to bleed you and you fear that he is going to harm you in his efforts, and as a result of your refusal that he bleeds you and you indeed die within a few days, is he then at fault? Or is the choice that you decided not to be bled, was that a wrong choice for you to make?
Question.
You must trust. You must have faith.
When you speak of trust, the more surprised I am that the community hasn't risen up and said that Goody Rebecca is a woman that has healed people and she's involved in the church and she's involved with the community and she's done good. This is not an evil woman that has spent 71 years of her life hurting people. Has the community had a reaction to you being accused and jailed?
Oh, yes. In the month of May of this year, 1692, my dear husband, Francis Nurse, circulated a petition amongst our neighbors, attesting that I am indeed a woman of good faith, and that I did give live birth to 11 children and raised 8 of those children up. And in my old age, I took in a child, a boy, who had been abandoned by his family, had run off I took in that boy and I raised that child also. He circulated this petition. 39 persons of good faith signed that petition on my behalf. It was brought before the magistrates, and they showed mercy upon me, and I was released to the custody of my husband. But then, shortly thereafter, more accusations were brought forth, more testimony was brought forth to the attention of the magistrates and the jurors, and I was again arrested and chained and bound over, and the warrant now has been issued for my execution. I had great hopes that I would be released. But it was not to be, and I must accept my fate. It is God's plan.
Goody Rebecca, did you say earlier that your sister confessed that she was a witch?
Yes.
And is Mary scheduled to be hanged?
Not at this time. She was branded as a witch. When I refer to as branded as a witch, you are branded with an iron. A W is branded on the left side of your face, on the cheek, and you are exiled from the colony. She was shown mercy by the magistrates. It is totally up to us to whether the magistrates and the jurors believe in the truth, the veracity of that person, the truthfulness that they show, and they will be shown mercy or they will be hanged.
So if you were to confess just for the purpose of saving your life, you would then be branded on your cheek, a permanent W on your cheek, and then you would be thrown out of the community without your family to survive on your own. Is that correct?
Yes. That would be the possibility. And again, it would be up to the discretion of the magistrates and the jurors as to whether one is truthful. And if they determine that you are not truthful and honest in your confession, then you are not to be believed for whatever reason. But I will not speak that untruth. I am not a witch, and I will not speak that untruth. I will not speak that blasphemy.
Do you think your sister is a witch?
No, but she could not withstand the suffering. She could simply not withstand it. And I cannot abuse her in the way that she simply could not withstand the pains and the sufferings. And it was something she could not endure. And she has decided and has been duly exiled. I do not know what her life will be. As to whether she will have survived, I do not know. I am not a witch, and I cannot foresee the future.
Yes. Maybe we should ask Tituba, because since she can see the future, she could just tell us what happens next.
Yes. I do believe that she is a witch and has bewitched many.
I have a question about your husband coming up with these 39 different reasons, and the community basically standing on your behalf saying that you're not a witch and you're a good person. It seems like they had exhausted every possible method of proving that you were not a witch. And then even after convincing the magistrate and then them changing their mind again, once they've decided that you're a witch, it seems that there is no recourse. There's no method for you to prove your innocence. What else could be done to prove that you are not a witch?
Everything has been exhausted. I have been questioned repeatedly. I have given answers that were truthful. I will not attest that I have committed any crime against any other person. And it is up to the jury and to the magistrates. And if they believe, for whatever reason, within their hearts, within their minds, that I am indeed a witch, I must accept that. I will attest to the very end that I am not a witch, but I also must accept their judgment. There are times when one must accept it.
It appears from a distance that right now what is happening in your time is hysteria. And you were talking about how Bridget Bishop had been accused, I think it was Bridget Bishop, had been accused several times, but nobody did anything about it. But now what we have is hysteria. And Ann Putnam Jr. is just pointing at everybody, and she's seeing specters everywhere. And Tituba is same thing. And I also understand that in other communities around yours, people have started pointing at others saying that they are witches. Is this just hysteria? Is this rampant witchcraft? Or is there something else at play? Like, is there some sort of drug use that is happening that is causing this hysteria? Is there anything else at play?
Perhaps you could explain to me this word, which I am not familiar with. I do not understand the word of
Is that word hysteria? Is that what you mean?
Yes, I do not understand this. I do not conceive of it.
You can imagine if somebody just randomly started screaming in a large group of people, and then the next person started screaming, and then pretty soon everybody would be screaming and they wouldn't know why. And it almost just takes over.
Yes.
It's like an overreaction.
Oh, yes. Now I understand. I have seen that. I have seen that while I was being questioned before the magistrate, when the girls were seated in front of me, and I answered the question honestly, and they would mock me. And one child would begin to scream and to throw a fit, and throwing herself upon the floor and renting her clothes and crying out that I was biting them and that I was controlling them. And one would see it as it went down to each child would follow in suit. And before long, they had to be carried from the meeting house and to calm them, to soothe them. And I have seen this. And it does appear to me that it has gone to that point where all of these accusations have simply, these rumors have simply infested more and more families, and they look even at one another. Mother looks at father, and they look at one another at the possibility that they indeed are a witch, and they look at their children. Are their children bewitched? And they look at their neighbors, and I do believe that it has gone through so many. It has gone from Salem, it has gone to Andover, to Beverly, to points beyond, to Boston Town, to all of these different towns and villages and settlements. It has continued. It seems to me when one sees the illness of bleeding and when the plague took over so much in England when I was a young child, and one would see that it leapt from city to town to village and even to the most remote settlements. And that is what has happened with this horror of searching for witches. For in England and Scotland and other places, witch finders are brought forth. And that is what these children have become, witch finders. They have been taken from place to place, loaded into a cart and taken from place to point out who in Andover or who in Beverly or whatever settlement, who are the witches. And these children are believed, and it's fear. These children have created fear and suspicion within families, within small towns, within villages, within every settlement. They have created such fear, and it will be our undoing if we cannot take hold of it, and we must stop. If it takes my death to bring this to a halt, I shall willingly go to that hangman's noose, if it will bring an end.
How can this stop, though? What you're describing is nothing less than a fire being spread by wind from one building to the
yes.
next. What do you think is going to happen next, considering what has already happened?
I do believe that perhaps like a fire that has been set upon in one barn, it will consume all in its path. And when there is nothing left to burn, it will stop. And I fear that this fire is burning at such virulence, such heat, that it will indeed perhaps destroy these colonies in the new world of New England. And it will not stop until all is consumed in its path. And I'm hoping, and I do, as a woman of good faith, I pray it will consume them to a point when they say there is nothing left to consume. And someone perhaps will stand forth and say, now we have found the core. We have rooted out the last witch. We have rooted out the devil's own within our homes, within our hearts, and we must stop. And if it takes my death, so be it.
Of what you describe and the fierceness of this fire that is spreading, this witchcraft that is spreading, this hunt for every single last witch, I wonder if perhaps being hanged tomorrow is a boon rather than a curse, considering what you would have to look forward to based on how hot this fire is burning.
Understand that this is what I must face. I do not fear it any longer. It was determined on this day that I was guilty of the practice of witchcraft. I could not stop the warrant for my execution to be handed down. And on the morrow, in the company of four other women, I shall be taken from this place and there to be hanged.
Is all witchcraft bad, or are there good witches?
No, there is white magic, which I have been accused when I have healed that perhaps I use white magic. Many of the savages, the tribes around us, they have white magic in which they can heal the sick. And so there is that part of beyond the human understanding in which we can heal. We can help those who are in suffering. And so there are those who, I suppose you might understand them to be white witches, that they are good and that they can heal and that they can soothe with perhaps their potions, their salves, their ointments. And I suppose in a way I looked at myself over the years that I have indeed helped those along the way, bringing a child into the world who has the vigor of life is sacred, and perhaps that will continue, that those who have those gifts will continue to help those who suffer. But there will always be evil. It is within the life of a human being that we have this evil around us.
Goody Rebecca, you have an ability to heal that not all people have. It is a skill that you've developed, that you learned from your mother, and you have healed many people, and you are good with these roots and these selves and so forth, as you've discussed. Is it possible that you do have some power that a white witch may have? Maybe you are a white witch, but you don't know it because this is what it feels like to have that power?
I do not know that I have great power in my lifetime. I have learned again at my mother's knee. I have learned to heal and to help. And I see myself as a person who perhaps does have that within my soul, within my being, that I am able to find the core, the source of the suffering of another person, or even a creature, a dog or a cat. And perhaps it is all within the view of another. I believe there are those persons, both men and women, who will do harm to others for their own gain, or perhaps the folly, the sport of harming another. And I, in my respect, I find it a pleasure. I find it not a folly, but I find satisfaction, I think perhaps is the word. I am pleased when the outcome is a good one. I am not pleased in myself, but I am pleased that I have some ability to aid and to ease the suffering of another. And I think perhaps I see my own death will ease the suffering of another and will bring this time to a close sooner. Perhaps one more death will bring it to an end. It'll bring the folly to an end.
There's a man in our time that has become very well known. You might even say famous. And his name is John Proctor. He's a man in your time. Are you familiar with Mr. Proctor and his wife? I think her name is Elizabeth.
Elizabeth Proctor, yes.
Are you familiar with them?
There are many Proctors. There are several in the parameters of Massachusetts colony.
Have either of them been accused of witchcraft?
Yes. It will rise to a higher level, I feel, before this fire burns out. I feel it will go to a much higher level. I have seen it as a young child. I have seen it in England when it rose and rose until there were those in the very highest levels who could not control it any longer. And I think the Proctors, there are some who would do evil, and they have been accused of that also.
Do you think that either of them are witches or wizards?
No, I do not. I
do
think they have done evil, but I do not believe it is because of their great powers.
You think the Proctors have done evil? Could you tell me about that?
Well, I think that they have persecuted at times their neighbors for their gain. They have used such practices to gain land and to gain wealth. And it is not that they are evil, it is that they do not have a conscience, I think it is, to control their lust for power and their lust for gain. They are not persons that I think highly of. I am becoming very tired, and I must be at my very best to face the morning.
Okay, I think we'll definitely wrap this up, and I appreciate all of this time that you have given me. I feel like it is much clearer to us what is happening. Any last words you'd like to say about what is happening or what you would hope would happen? Any thoughts at all?
I think we must understand that what has happened here in His Majesty's Royal Colony of Massachusetts, I do not believe it was so much the wickedness of witchcraft, of the black arts, but perhaps the wickedness within the hearts of many, the lust for power, the lust for other joys of the flesh, the lust for land, to gain at the expense of others. It is within ourselves and not a witch, whether the witch be of white or black magic, but to control those evil urges, the sins of the flesh, the sins of lust and gluttony and avarice, and not to do harm to one another. That is the first absolute for every person who is a God-fearing person of faith, is not to do harm. And that is what I would like to have as a perhaps a legacy, is not to do harm and to be remembered that I did not do harm, but I was accused and I held fast. I would not speak an untruth. And to control those urges, the evil that people do within themselves and harm, that is not black magic. That is within each person's soul.
Goody Rebecca, I can assure you that your wish for that legacy does come true. I wish you the best. I hope that tomorrow is as easy as a terrible thing can be. And my best wishes to you.
And thank you, good sir. Good day.
The witch trials would last about a year, and it wasn't long before the community and those who orchestrated the sham trials realized their mistake and attempted to distance themselves from the whole event. This failure of law and due process changed the world. After the trials, spectral evidence was no longer accepted as proof. Many years later, during the creation of the United States legal system, they used this error to ensure that those being tried were innocent until proven guilty, instead of the other way around. Although Salem made every attempt to sweep the tragedy under the rug in the late 1690s, that is not what they're doing now. When we were visiting Salem a few years ago, half the women I met claimed to be witches. Tours and museums make it possible for you to visit many of these sites. Yet, the site they call Proctor's Ledge and its memorial of the hangings is, in fact, not the actual site where the hangings took place. One of the guides told us that we should not go to the actual site and that it was not marked. I pushed him for the location, but he refused, saying it was too dangerous, especially at night. Nonetheless, the internet saved the day. We parked behind a Walgreens that backed up to a small, one-acre forested area in the center of town. We hiked up this steep hill, and in the middle of these trees, we found a small circle of stones, lots of footprints, and a burned-out fire containing the remains and the bones of a small animal. This spot was where the actual hanging took place. We didn't hang around much longer, but I will never forget what it felt like to stand on that hill. Thanks for listening. And if you enjoyed this episode, subscribe now. I'm Tony Dean, and until next time, I'm History.